This morning we're going to include awareness of thoughts and emotions in the field of mindfulness. We've spoken quite a bit about the nature of thought. Seeing its empty nature, seeing that the only power thoughts have is the power that we give them. But to actualize this understanding and the freedom that comes from it requires that we become aware when a thought is present. As you know, thoughts are very slippery. They slide into the mind, and often we're unaware that they're there. Sometimes we're not aware of them till after they're already over. And then we remember, oh, I've been thinking. Sometimes, as the mindfulness becomes stronger, we become aware of a thought in the middle. We're right in the middle of a particular thought, a phrase, and then we wake up to the fact that we're thinking. At that time, the thought may continue, but we're aware of it. Or very often, in the moment of noticing that we're thinking, the thought disappears because we're no longer feeding it. When that happens, that's fine. We don't have to keep the thought going in order to be mindful of it. If it disappears when we're aware that we're thinking, notice that and simply come back to some other object of attention. Sometimes, when the mind is quite clear, we can be aware of thoughts just as they're arising. We may be with the body or the breath or sounds, and just as the thought starts to come, the mind is clear enough to see our arising thought. And again, just in that moment, it may disappear or it may continue, but we're aware, if it continues, that we're thinking, we're mindful of it. So as you practice today, have an intention to be as aware of thought as possible. Really include this part of our experience in your field of mindfulness. Remembering the Buddha's words, that seeing thoughts arise, abide, and pass away is one of the marvelous qualities of the Buddha. So this is an extremely important part of the practice, because thoughts play such a powerful role in our lives. When we're unaware of them, then we're simply acting out all the habit patterns of our conditioning. When we are aware of them, then we have the freedom to choose. Is this thought helpful? Is it not helpful? Should I act on it? Should I let it go? And so we find that there's a much greater space of freedom in our lives to make wise choices. And it all rests on our ability to be aware of a thought as it's arising in the mind. If it is a quickly passing thought, one that just comes and passes through quickly, simply noticing thinking is enough. We're simply aware, thinking. Either by making that mental label, that mental note, thinking, if you find the mental labeling helpful, or simply being aware, being mindful that the thought is there, and not using the note. You can experiment for yourself to see, is the noting thinking helpful or not helpful? and either way is fine. The main point is to be aware of it. So if it's a quickly passing thought, we're just aware. Thinking has come and gone. But you may notice that there are some kinds of thoughts that tend to come more frequently. Thoughts that catch us up in the story for longer periods of time. They may be thoughts about family, about work. It may be patterns of planning or old memories. There may be a certain pattern of thoughts connected with the hindrances or self-judgment. If you notice that there are certain patterns of thought that keep coming again and again, then it's helpful to give a note, to give a label to that particular pattern, so that it helps us be mindful of, it helps us keep an eye out for the arising of that pattern. Because we know, oh, these are the kinds of thoughts that catch us again and again, that we get lost in again and again. So we have to keep a special watch for those particular patterns. Sometimes I like to use the note, the label, tape, family tape, work tape, planning tape, whatever. Because for me, using that note reinforces the idea that it is just an impersonal tape in the mind. It helps me not be so identified with that thought. It's just a tape loop, the planning tape, the judging tape, the work tape. Again, you can experiment. None of these suggestions are none of these suggestions are rules. They're all just suggestions for you to play and investigate to see what's most helpful to support the awareness that the thought is present. And to see more and more clearly how thoughts simply come and go by themselves. There's one phrase in a book by Suzuki Roshi called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. It's a very famous book back in the 60s. One line in this book said, "Don't be bothered by your thoughts. Let them come and let them go." So simple. Don't be bothered by your thoughts. Let them come and let them go. Unfortunately, we are usually very good at letting them come, and we're not so well practiced in letting them go. The way to let them go is to be mindful that they're present, rather than be caught up and lost in them. When we're caught up and identified in the thought, then they tend to proliferate. They tend to expand. The stories get longer and longer. So as you're sitting, attending to the body, there is a body, perhaps in that framework of understanding, just that simple settling in to the feeling of the whole body. You may be aware of sounds. So simple. Sounds are arising and they're just being heard. Any problem hearing the sound? No, we're just sitting, feeling the body, sound arising, Can you be with the feeling of the breath appearing in the same way as you feel the sound, as you hear the sound? The breath also is simply a natural phenomenon happening by itself, doesn't require any effort. There is a body, just settling into that simple awareness. Within that, sounds are appearing and we know them. Within that framework, we can feel the breath simply as it presents itself, not trying to make it any particular way. The breath is happening by itself. The body knows how to breathe. Sometimes we can focus very directly on the breath, narrowing the focus. Very often we can keep the wider frame. There is a body, and simply let the breath be there within the larger frame, not focusing down on it. Just letting the breath be one of the many objects that appear. There is a body. Sound may appear, the feeling of the breath going in and out may appear. Different sensations in the body may appear, some pleasant, some unpleasant. You may want to acknowledge the pleasantness or unpleasantness of different sensations and watch the reaction of the mind to them. When sensations are unpleasant, do we pull away or do we push them away or do we have aversion? Or can we simply stay in that open awareness? Simply being mindful, unpleasant sensation. Just let it be. Or we might acknowledge certain sensations as being pleasant. Lightness, softness, maybe a light tingling or vibration. Can we stay in the open, aware mindfulness that simply knows pleasant sensation? Without grabbing onto it or attaching to it or wanting it to stay. Mindfulness lets everything take its own natural course, its non-interfering awareness. So we're simply resting in the very simple awareness there is a body. In that open framework, aware of sounds, aware of the feeling of the breath as it comes in and out, awareness of different sensations as they present themselves, staying particularly alert for the arising of thought. And thought may come as words, also as images. Some people see a lot of images in the mind. They're treated in the same way, just as seeing, seeing, seeing. Something that is particularly insightful is to notice the moment when you come out from being lost in a thought. Because many thoughts will come and we may not be aware of them right at the beginning. But at a certain point, we become aware. It's as if we wake up from being lost in the thought. Pay attention to that moment, that transition from being lost to being awake. Because right there, it reveals the nature of awareness. It shows us what the aware, awake mind is like. in contrast to having just been lost, having just been in the dream. The contrast is very obvious right in that moment. So we learn about awareness, we become more familiar with it. And rather than judging oneself or judging the mind for having been lost, take delight in the fact that the mind is now awake. Delight in the awareness rather than judge the being lost. And lastly, be aware of different emotions that may arise. There's a wide range. Some of them we've mentioned in terms of the hindrances, you know, desire, aversion, anger, irritation, restlessness. But there are many different kinds of emotions: happiness, sadness, loneliness, fear, calm, joy, metta, compassion, envy, jealousy. Whatever emotion arises in the experience, they should be made the object of mindfulness as well. We take the emotion itself as the object of our awareness and begin to explore exactly what the emotion is. Emotion is a complex experience because it involves thoughts, it involves different mind states, it involves different bodily sensations. And so an emotion is a cover word for a complex experience. When the emotion is strong, take the time to investigate its different aspects. If there's a strong feeling of joy, recognize the joy and become mindful of what the actual experience is. What does it feel like in the body? What are the bodily sensations? Are there certain thoughts connected with it? Notice that. What is the feeling tone, the color tone in the mind of joy? And so we're exploring. Or if it's some difficult emotion like fear or anger, we bring mindfulness to it rather than simply being lost in the story of it, lost in identification with it. We're actually examining, we're investigating, we're understanding the nature of the emotion, rather than getting lost in the story of the emotion. I found it helpful to imagine different emotions like changing weather patterns in the sky. You know, we can be going along and clear, open, bright sky, and then maybe big thunder clouds start forming. You know, and the sky gets dark and heavy. And so this may be like some emotion of anger arising or fear arising. Instead of jumping into the story and getting caught up and identified, rather step back and just see what the whole experience of that emotion is like. Knowing that these weather patterns are going to change. Sky gets dark and cloudy and intense, and after some time, those clouds disperse. And again, the mind is clear, sky is clear and bright. keeping in mind that all phenomena are arising and passing, that all experience is impermanent. It comes when conditions are there, passes away when the conditions change. If we can remember that in the moment, particularly of intense emotion, it helps us keep an equanimity in the experience of them. We're open to the emotion, we feel it, we explore it, we look at how it's affecting the mind, the body, but we remain in balance. We're not thrown by it, knowing that it's just part of the passing show. Very often, naming the emotion, putting a label on it, can help us not be identified with it. Fear. Fear. Fear is like this. Anger. Oh, anger feels like this. Happiness. Oh, happiness feels like this. So as we're naming it, and reminding ourselves, just be in the experience of it as it's showing itself. We're not so caught up in our life drama about it. We're really exploring the very nature of the emotion. And this brings about a great deal of balance in our meditation and in our lives. The last suggestion I have for this morning's sitting is have fun. Do you have any questions about the instructions working with thoughts and emotions?
About obsessive thinking, obsessive thoughts.
The question was, what about obsessive thoughts? The key to working with them is to keep the mind alert for their very first arising, just as they appear in the mind, because if we miss the beginning, then we're often in the train of them and it's harder to get off the train. But if you see them just as they arise, then it's easier to not get on the train in the first place. It's helpful with recurring thoughts like that, obsessive thoughts, to have a very clear perception of what that very first thought is saying, because it's the first thought in the mind that is so seductive. And I've worked with this with one particular time. And there was one train of thought. If I did not catch the very first sentence, half an hour later, I was still on the journey. If I could keep my mind alert, it was like setting the radar out, you know, keeping an eye out for the arising of that first thought. And when I could catch that, didn't hop on the train, didn't go anyplace. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is what feeds thoughts is both our aversion to them or our belief in them. That's what keeps them going. So with obsessive thoughts, you really want to check the attitude in your mind about them. If there's aversion, if you don't like them, if you want them to go away, that aversion is actually strengthening them. And on the other hand, if the obsessive thoughts come and you believe them, that also will be strengthening them. So it's finding that middle way of not aversion, not believing, just having a very clear awareness of the moment they arise. So you can play with some of that and see if any of that is helpful.
Are there thoughts that we should be investigating further in order to eliminate, and how do we identify them?
Okay, so are there thoughts which we should investigate further in order to explore? And this might also be in addition to what I responded to your question. Sometimes with very recurring thoughts, they are recurring because there's an underlying emotion that we're not aware of. And so the emotion underneath is acting like an underground spring that keeps feeding the thoughts. So if we may be going over a story again and again and again in our minds, it might be worth asking or looking or investigating, okay, is there some emotion that I'm not really opening to? Maybe it's sadness, maybe it's a feeling of hurt, maybe it's a feeling of anger, maybe it's a feeling of excitement, you know, thinking of your next vacation. Could be. In that case, if you can open to the emotion underneath, become mindful of it and see the emotion as coming going, that often will quiet the thought process as well.
I seem to be experiencing my thoughts as a body sensation, not as a word.
Okay, so as I hear the question, he's saying, he seems to be experiencing thought as a bodily sensation rather than as words in the mind. Really, it's a question of definition. I've been using the word thought to refer to words in the mind, but if you're having an experience, some kind of experience of thought manifesting as sensation, fine, just be with that. The purpose of all of this is not to cling. And so whatever you're doing, and however you're practicing, let that be the measure of its success, right? Is the mind clinging to whatever it is, whether it's a sensation, thought, emotion, sound, reaction, or is the mind not clinging, letting go, letting everything just arise and pass by itself? Okay, there's one announcement I want to make before we break for interviews. There seems to be some contagious disease in the group, and it's not the cold that's going around. It's, and this is very contagious, it's the note-writing disease. They seem to be proliferating, and every morning they just seem to be more and more and more. So I would suggest maybe asking the question before you put a note on the board. Is this necessary? Right. Maybe it is, you know, maybe there's really some important question or something you need to communicate. But very often, and I know this very well from my own practice, it's just our mind gets caught up in some interesting idea and, oh, let me write that down, let me ask a question. It's not that helpful. It really keeps the mind in a state somewhat of distraction and restlessness. And it's better to just let that question settle back into oneself. Almost always, the practice itself will answer the question. So I would just kind of keep that in mind. Thank you. Have a nice day.